and to show no emotion over the first bereavement in your family. But suppose that I forbade you to show emotion. There are certain feelings which claim their own rights. Tears fall, no matter how we try to check them, and by being shed, they ease the soul. What, then, shall we do? Let us allow them to fall, but let us not command them do so. Let us, according as emotion floods our eyes, but not as mere imitation shall demand. Let us, indeed, add nothing to natural grief, nor augment it by following the example of others. The display of grief makes more demands than grief itself. How few men are sad in their own company! They lament the louder for being heard. Persons who are reserved and silent when alone are stirred to new paroxysms of tears when they behold others near them. At such times, they lay violent hands upon their own persons, though they might have done this more easily if no one were present to check them. At such times, they pray for death. At such times, they toss themselves from their couches. But their grief slackens with the departure of onlookers. In this matter, as in others also, we are obsessed by this fault, conforming to the pattern of the many and regarding convention rather than duty. We abandon nature and surrender to the mob, who are never good advisers in anything, and in this respect, as in all others, are most inconsistent. People see a man who bears his grief bravely. They call him undutiful and savage-hearted. They see a man who collapses and clings to his dead. They call him womanish and weak. Everything, therefore, should be referred to reason. But nothing is more foolish than to court a reputation for sadness and to sanction tears. For I hold that with a wise man some tears fall by consent, others by their own force. I shall explain the difference as follows. When the first news of some bitter loss has shocked us, when we embrace the form that will soon pass from our arms to the funeral flames, then tears are wrung from us by the necessity of nature, and the life force, smitten by the stroke of grief, shakes both the whole body and the eyes also, from which it presses out and causes to flow the moisture that lies within. Tears like these fall by a forcing out process against our will. But different are the tears which we allow to escape when we muse in memory upon those whom we have lost. And there is in them a certain sweet sadness when we remember the sound of a pleasant voice, a genial conversation, and the busy duties of yore. At such a time, the eyes are loosened, as it were, with joy. This sort of weeping we indulge, the former sort overcomes us. There is, then, no reason why, just because a group of persons is standing in your presence or sitting at your side, you should either check or pour forth your tears. Whether restrained or outpoured, they are never so disgraceful as when feigned. Let them flow naturally. But it is possible for tears to flow from the eyes of those who are quiet and at peace. They often flow without impairing the influence of the wise man, with such restraint that they show no want either of feeling or of self-respect. We may, I assure you, obey nature and yet maintain our dignity. I have seen men worthy of reverence during the burial of those near and dear, with countenances upon which love was written clear even after the whole apparatus of mourning was removed, and who showed no other conduct than that which was allowed to genuine emotion. There is a comeliness even in grief. This should be cultivated by the wise man, even in tears, just as in other matters also. There is a certain sufficiency. It is with the unwise that sorrows, like joys, gush over. Accept in an unruffled spirit that which is inevitable. What can happen that is beyond belief, or what that is new? How many men, at this very moment, are making arrangements for funerals? How many are purchasing grave clothes? How many are mourning when you yourself have finished mourning? As often as you reflect that your boy has ceased to be, reflect also upon man, who has no sure promise of anything, whom fortune does not inevitably escort to the confines of old age, but lets him go at whatever point